This is Chris.
And this is Jim.
And this is Double Dome Digitally Speaking.
Enjoy the show.
Okay, let's unpack this. It is August 24th, 2026.
Yep.
And if you look around your office right now, or, you know, more likely your Slack channels, things probably look a little bit like a ghost town.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, your competitors are at the beach. The out-of-office auto replies are just firing off like crazy.
Yeah, everyone's checked out.
Right. There's this general sense that the entire business world is just taking a collective nap before the absolute chaos of September begins.
Which is exactly what we are going to challenge today.
Because if you are treating right now as a break, the web experts argue that you are actively bleeding revenue.
Yeah, you really are.
So today, we're doing a deep dive into a source that claims this quiet, fleeting window is actually the most critical time of the year for your company's digital infrastructure.
It's a completely counterintuitive premise, but the timing is the whole point of it.
Right. So our source material today is an article by Paris Jane.
Yes.
He's a 17-year veteran web expert over at Double Dome Digital Marketing.
Very smart guy.
Yeah, and the piece is titled, Summer Website CRO Sprint. High ROI conversion fixes. So what's the actual mission here?
Well, what we are going to dissect today is not, you know, a massive multi-year digital transformation.
Right. Nobody has time for that in August.
Exactly. It is a highly specific mission. We are pulling out the three structural website fixes you can execute right now.
Just three.
And the goal is to stop wasting your active ad spend and actually capture those high-intent buyers before the autumn rush.
And the context of why this structural rot happens in the first place is something I think literally anyone who has ever worked in a mid-to-large business will recognize.
Oh, for sure.
Jane talks about this concept of the informal backlog.
Ultimate backlog, yeah.
We all have it. It is that massive, dusty spreadsheet of structural web fixes, messaging updates, conversion ideas.
Ones that just perpetually get pushed to next quarter?
Always next quarter. But I want to stop right there for a second. Why does this happen so predictably? Because from the outside, you look at a massive company and you think, well, surely they have a web team managing this, right?
They do. I mean, they absolutely do. But if we connect this to the bigger picture, we have to look at the mechanics of what marketing teams are actually incentivized to do.
Right.
During the high intensity periods of the year. So basically from September through May.
The busy season.
Right. During that time, teams are entirely consumed by demand generation.
Got it.
That means launching new campaigns, building outbound sales sequences, and just, you know, pumping money into paid ads.
Because they have to drive traffic right now?
Exactly. They are trying to hit those quarterly revenue targets. So the internal infrastructure, the actual website where all this expensive traffic is landing, it just gets treated as a static asset.
Oh, I see.
If the site isn't completely, like, broken and offline, no one has the bandwidth to pause the demand generation engine to go in and optimize the underlying code or fix the core messaging.
It is like knowing your car has a misfiring engine, but refusing to pull over during a cross-country road trip.
That is a great way to look at it.
You just tell yourself, you know, I can't stop. I need to make miles. I have to get there.
Right.
But fundamentally, the mechanics of your engine are compromised.
Yeah, you are moving, but it's not pretty.
You're burning twice the gas, putting massive wear on the transmission, just to get half the speed you would get if you just took an hour to pull over and swap the spark plugs.
Exactly. And the source actually uses this really powerful imagery for this.
Oh, the bucket analogy.
Yes. Jane says these unoptimized sites collect leads the way a bucket collects water after someone forgot to put the bottom in.
It's just a bottomless bucket. Which brings us to what we call the summer paradox.
Right. The paradox.
The assumption across the corporate world is that because of general response rates dip in July and August, you know, people are on vacation, we should lower our own operational pace.
It just feels like a safe time to pause.
It does.
Yeah.
But what is the critical flaw in that logic?
Well, the flaw is that active, high-intent buyers do not simply stop needing enterprise software or specialized consulting just because it is summer.
Right. The business problems still exist.
Exactly. The sheer volume of traffic might dip, sure. But the intent of the traffic that remains is incredibly high.
Okay, I want to push back on that a little bit just from a resource allocation standpoint.
Sure.
If overall traffic is down, say, 20% in August, isn't it logical for a business to scale back their optimization efforts until September when all the eyeballs are back.
Well, not if you look at how digital advertising actually works.
How so?
Even if the overall volume is down, your paid search campaigns are still running. Your organic search presence is still generating clicks.
True, you don't turn off Google Ads in August.
Right. You are actively paying for that traffic right now.
Wow, okay.
So if your landing pages have terrible navigation or your messaging is just vague, those high-intent buyers are quietly leaving your site.
And they are going to a competitor.
Exactly. You are essentially paying Google to dump prospects into that bottomless bucket.
That is painful to think about.
It is. So fixing the bucket during the slow season ensures that when that massive wave of September traffic finally hits, your infrastructure is primed to capture it rather than just waste it.
Okay, that makes total sense. We need to transition from treating summer as a break to treating it as an execution window.
A CRO sprint. Conversion rate optimization.
Yes, a CRO sprint. Let's walk through the actual journey of one of these high-intent buyers and look at the three specific fixes Jane outlines.
Okay, let's do it.
Step one. I am a buyer. I see your ad. I click it, and I land on your homepage. What is the first fix?
This brings us to fix number one, which is homepage value proposition clarity.
Okay.
And the mandate here is ruthless. When a cold visitor arrives, they must understand your exact core capability and market focus within 3 seconds.
3 seconds.
3 seconds. And it has to be entirely above the fold.
Meaning before they even scroll down the page?
Exactly. Before they touch the mouse wheel.
This is a really major issue in the B2B space. You land on a corporate homepage, and the headline is something like, synergizing tomorrow's paradigms for optimal growth.
I have seen that exact headline, I think.
Right. And as a buyer, I have absolutely no idea if you sell logistics software, financial consulting, or commercial plumbing.
It means nothing.
But let's look at the psychology of that for a second. Surely B2B buyers who are making, you know, $100,000 purchasing decisions have more than a 3 second attention span.
You would think so.
Right. Like they're willing to read a little bit, aren't they?
Well, human buyers might have the capacity to read, but they lack the patience for cognitive friction.
Cognitive friction.
If they have to spend their mental energy just deciphering your basic industry category, they instantly lose trust in your authority.
That makes sense.
But the much larger issue here, and this is a fundamental shift in how the web operates in 2026, is that this is not just about human executives anymore.
Here is where it gets really interesting.
Yeah. It is about how AI-driven answer engines perceive your platform.
This was the part of the source material that genuinely made me pause. AI engines like ChatGPT, Gemini, or Perplexity, they do not care about clever corporate puns.
Not at all.
But walk me through the actual mechanics here. How does an AI parse a home page differently than the traditional Google web crawler we've been optimizing for over the last, you know, decade?
It is a completely different architecture. So think of traditional Google SEO like a librarian. Uh-huh. A librarian who recommends your book based on how many times a specific keyword is printed on the cover.
Right, the old keyword stuffing trick.
Exactly. You could game that system by just stuffing the word enterprise logistics into all your headers.
Yeah.
But AI answer engines act more like a postgraduate researcher. They don't just count keywords.
What do they do?
They use large language models to actively read the structural context of the page. They're looking for entity relationships.
Entity relationships?
Mm-hmm.
Meaning what exactly?
Meaning they need to connect your business name to specific verifiable outcomes. They want original value metrics and clear proof points.
So if your homepage says empowering the future of business, the traditional search engine might just kind of ignore the fluff.
Right.
But the AI actively downgrades you because it cannot extract a factual, verifiable entity relationship. It literally does not know what you do.
Precisely. The AI needs human-first transparency.
Wow.
It needs hyper-literal data structures to validate your credibility. It has to do that before it will synthesize an answer that actually recommends your services to a user.
So if you hide behind generic marketing slogans, you just become invisible to the AI.
You don't exist to them. And fixing this above the fold has profound financial implications.
I bet.
According to Jane, CRO value matrix in the article, realigning this messaging yields a typical conversion lift of 0.5% to 1.2%.
Which, you know, 0.5% doesn't sound like much at first glance.
That sounds tiny.
Until you apply it to mid-market or enterprise deal sizes.
Exactly. Let's do the math.
Yeah. If your average contract value is $25,000, that fractional percentage lift translates to an estimated 2 to 4 additional qualified inquiries every single month.
Right.
You are looking at $50,000 or more in potential monthly revenue simply because you explicitly stated what you actually do.
Because you eliminated the friction of confusion.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so the AI understands us now, and the human didn't instantly bounce off the homepage.
Oh, win-win.
Right. They click over to our services page because they are genuinely interested. This brings us to fix number two.
High traffic service page CTA alignment.
CTA being call to action.
Right. We have to actually ask the user to do something.
And this is where the friction trap claims most businesses.
Oh, it really does.
On complex service pages, companies consistently make a massive error in how they measure commitment.
They assume that if someone is reading about a complex service, they must be ready to buy it immediately.
Yeah. The analogy that came to mind when I was reading this part of the source is dating.
Oh, I like this.
So many B2B corporate websites ask for a comprehensive deployment consultation right out of the gate.
Yeah, the big hard sell.
Functionally, that is like asking someone to co-sign a 30-year mortgage on a first date instead of just, you know, asking if they want to grab a coffee.
That is painfully accurate.
I am just browsing your site to see if you can solve my problem, and your only button is demanding I lock myself into a 45-minute high-pressure sales pitch.
You are illustrating the exact cognitive mechanism at play here.
Yeah.
When a user sees book a consultation, their brain immediately calculates the risk and the social pressure of that interaction.
They know it's coming.
They know they will have to give up their email, their phone number, and they will likely have to dodge follow-up calls from a sales rep for a month.
That is intensely high friction.
Extremely. So if they are still in the early discovery phase, they will simply leave rather than take on that burden.
So what is the mechanical fix here? What does a low-friction coffee date actually look like in a B2B context?
It requires aligning the asset with the user's current intent level.
Okay, so matching their energy.
Right. Instead of pushing a sales call, you offer a technical implementation framework, or maybe a localized case study, or even a self-serve pricing calculator.
Ah, something useful.
Exactly. These are high-value informational assets that require very low commitment.
The user trades their email for immediate, tangible value without the threat of a hard sell.
Yes.
And by doing that, you are capturing the buyer while they are still researching rather than waiting for them to be 100% ready to buy.
Because if you wait until they are ready, they might have already chosen the competitor who gave them the free implementation framework a month ago.
Wow. Yeah, that is the exact strategy.
You build a pipeline of qualified volume much earlier in the buying cycle.
What does the data say on this one?
Jaina's data shows that aligning the call to action to a low friction offer creates a massive 1.0 to 2.5% conversion lift.
That is a huge jump.
You are fundamentally widening the top of your funnel simply by lowering the barrier to entry.
Okay, so we've clarified the message on the homepage. We've smoothed out the psychological friction of the ask on the service pages.
But we also have to look at the physical friction of using the site itself.
Which leads to fix number three.
Mobile experience and load speed refinement.
And I'll be honest, I really want to challenge this one.
Go for it.
In the enterprise B2B space, are we really worrying about mobile phones?
A lot of people ask that.
If I am a procurement officer buying a $100,000 software package, I am sitting at my desk on a dual monitor setup. I am not doing that on my iPhone while waiting for the subway.
It is a very common assumption, but it conflates the transaction phase with the discovery phase.
Oh, okay. Explain that.
You are absolutely right that the final contract signing, you know, the deep vendor analysis, that all happens on a desktop. But the initial discovery, that moment an executive reads an industry article or clicks a LinkedIn ad or searches a specific query while they're commuting, that happens on mobile.
So are vetting us on their phones,
yeah,
even if they buy on their desktops.
Exactly. Jaina's data firmly asserts that mobile devices account for the majority of first visit business traffic, even in highly technical B2B sectors.
The majority. Wow. But what are they actually experiencing when they click our links on a mobile device?
Usually a catastrophic level of technical friction.
Catastrophic.
Yeah. Because B2B sites are designed on large desktop screens in corporate offices, they're often packed with heavy interactive elements.
Oh, like massive video headers?
Massive video headers, complex drop-down menus, parallax scrolling.
Yeah.
And when you force all of that decorative clutter onto a mobile processor operating on a cellular network, the site just breaks down.
Let's talk about the mechanics of that breakdown, because it is not just that it looks a little squished.
Yeah.
It actively drives people away.
Right. It creates what developers call layout shift and main thread blocking.
What does that mean for the user?
When a mobile browser tries to load massive JavaScript files for those interactive animations, it freezes the page.
Ugh, the worst.
The user tries to scroll and nothing happens. Then a pop-up meant for a desktop screen loads late, shifts the entire layout down, and the user accidentally clicks the wrong link.
It is intensely frustrating.
And it is a terrible first impression.
But if I play devil's advocate for the internal marketing team for a second.
Sure.
If we strip away all the interactive elements, the video headers, and that sleek design, aren't we just left with a boring wall of text? Doesn't that make the brand look cheap to a high-end buyer?
There is a profound difference between a cheap design and an elegant utilitarian design.
Okay.
The optimization sweep Jane advocates for is ruthless simplicity. High-end buyers do not equate slow, broken animations with luxury or competence.
That is a great point.
They equate speed and usability with competence. Streamlining form fields, stabilizing the layout, and removing decorative assets that serve no structural purpose, that instantly removes cognitive frustration.
And I imagine the financial impact is pretty immediate.
Very immediate. Fixing the mobile layout typically generates a 0.8 to 1.8% conversion lift.
That is a direct reduction in wasted click spend.
Exactly.
You are no longer paying ad platforms to send mobile users to a page that mathematically guarantees they will get frustrated and leave.
Right.
Okay, let's step back and look at the reality of implementing this. If I am a marketing director listening to this, I'm probably sweating a little bit right now.
It sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, I am thinking I can barely get my IT department to update a banner image on the homepage without a 3-week approval process.
Right, the bureaucracy.
How am I supposed to overhaul our core messaging, rewrite our CTAs, and strip down our mobile architecture in a 60-day summer sprint?
It's a valid fear.
And more importantly, how do I prove to my CEO in October that this actually made us money?
That is the most critical hurdle, honestly. And it brings us to the final segment, the measurement shift.
Okay.
You cannot undertake a CRO sprint in 2026 without fundamentally updating how you track revenue attribution.
If you can't prove it, it didn't happen.
Exactly. If you cannot objectively prove the financial return of these changes, executive leadership will just view it as a waste of time.
But wait, hasn't digital marketing always been trackable? I mean, we just drop a cookie on the user, follow them around, and see if they fill out the form.
Well, that era is functionally over.
Really?
Yeah. The tracking infrastructure that marketing teams have relied on for the past decade is collapsing.
Wow.
Browser privacy updates, aggressive ad blockers, and international data privacy laws are actively blocking standard user tracking.
Hold on. Let's break down the actual plumbing here. Because Jane throws around terms in the article like first-party server-side data locks.
Right.
That is a lot of jargon. What is fundamentally breaking in our current tracking?
Yeah.
How does server-side tracking actually fix it?
Okay, let's look at the mechanism. The old way, third-party cookies, relied entirely on the user's browser.
Okay.
When someone visited your site, their Chrome or Safari browser would send a direct ping to Google Analytics or Facebook saying, you know, this person clicked the button.
So the browser was the messenger.
Exactly. But today, Apple and privacy-focused browsers actively intercept and block those pings. Google never gets the message.
Oh, wow.
So, to your marketing dashboard, it looks like that user never existed, even if they eventually called your sales team.
So what does this all mean? The ad platforms are just flying blind because the browsers are playing defense.
That is exactly what is happening.
So what is the server-side solution?
Server-side tracking makes you the middleman. Instead of relying on the user's browser to send data to Google, the user's actions are sent directly to your own website OSS server first.
Okay, I follow.
Your server logs that data securely as a first-party entity, and then your server forwards the verified data to your CRM and your analytics platforms.
So you bypass the browser's restrictions entirely?
Yes, while maintaining strict data privacy because you control the conduit.
That sounds technically intense. It is not just tweaking a WordPress plugin, it's changing the fundamental routing of your company's data.
It is highly complex engineering, which is why Jane emphasizes partnering with a specialized technical backbone team for this phase.
Don't do this alone.
Right. The internal marketing team should be focused on the messaging clarity and the CTA strategy, the human elements. They need to let a technical team handle the server-side logs and verified CRM milestone tracking.
This really ties the whole 60-day summer strategy together, doesn't it?
It does.
Jane notes that this implementation takes 60 days and the returns take 60 to 90 days to materialize.
Yes.
He has this brilliant analogy in the piece. He writes, SEO is more like planting an orchard than buying groceries. The payoff can be substantial, but nobody gets apples tomorrow.
I love that quote. It perfectly illustrates the reality of digital ecosystems.
Yeah.
You cannot force a search engine or an AI answer engine to instantaneously reevaluate your entire site architecture overnight.
It takes time.
It takes time for the algorithms to crawl the new structural data, and it takes time for enough user traffic to flow through the optimized mobile pathways to statistically prove that the changes are working.
Which is exactly why you cannot wait until September to start planting the orchard.
Precisely.
If you wait until the autumn rush to fix your tracking and messaging, you are doing construction on your store while the highest volume of customers is trying to shop.
That is a recipe for a disaster.
By executing this sprint right now, in the quiet of summer, you protect your Q3 and Q4 data pipelines. By the time the business world wakes up in September, your server-side tracking is catching every lead.
Yep.
Your messaging is crystal clear to the AI engines.
Yep.
And your mobile site is completely frictionless. You are capturing the revenue your competitors are still wasting.
You are building a system that maximizes the baseline return on the traffic you are already buying, rather than just endlessly buying more traffic to pour into a leaky bucket.
Okay, so to summarize the mission here for everyone listening,
let's bring it home.
Stop treating the summer slowdown as an excuse to ignore your digital backlog. You have a 60-day window to execute 3 structural fixes.
Number 1.
Clarify your homepage above the fold so both human executives and AI answer engines understand exactly what you do in 3 seconds.
Number 2.
Swap out high-friction sales demands for low-friction, high-value assets on your service pages. Get that coffee date.
Get the coffee date. Number 3.
Ruthlessly strip the heavy decorative clutter from your mobile experience to increase load speeds. And you back all of this up by migrating to secure server-side tracking so you can actually prove to your boss that it worked.
It is an incredibly pragmatic roadmap.
It really is.
But, you know, synthesizing Jane's focus on AI brings up a deeper implication for the future of our digital strategies.
Oh, where is this taking us?
Think about the mechanics of how AI answer engines operate, as we discussed earlier.
Okay.
They place a premium on deep, structural transparency, verifiable entities, and literal data relationships.
Right.
They actively ignore traditional persuasion tactics, emotional copywriting, and clever marketing hooks.
Right. The AI does not care if your pun is funny. It just wants the data.
This raises an important question. If AI engines like ChatGPT and Gemini are rapidly replacing traditional search as the primary way B2B buyers discover and evaluate services,
yeah.
Does this mean the era of the marketing copywriter is coming to an end?
Oh, wow.
If persuasion is no longer about catchy emotional prose, but about how cleanly you can deliver verified, literal facts to an algorithm, will the most successful websites of the future simply be hyper-literal, transparent data structures rather than traditional sales pitches?
Wow. Are we moving toward a web where persuasion is purely algorithmic and structural?
It's entirely possible.
That is a fascinating thought to leave on. If the AI is the new gatekeeper, maybe the ultimate sales pitch is just the absolute unvarnished truth, structured perfectly.
Something to think about.
It is definitely something for all of us to chew on.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, I highly encourage everyone listening to pull up your company's homepage right now, look at it on your phone, look at the main headline, and ask yourself honestly, does this pass the 3-second AI clarity test? Or is your bucket missing its bottom? Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
We hope you enjoyed today's topic.
Be sure to like, comment, and follow us.
And check out our other shows, all related to digital marketing.
Whether you're a web designer, Google Ads specialist, or a small business owner, we've got a show that'll help you get clarity on what's trending now in digital marketing.
And if you need help,
with 25 years of experience across 30 plus industries and thousands of projects, we deliver ruthlessly effective Google Ads, SEO, and omnichannel digital marketing campaigns.
Learn how you can get consistent leads in 30 days or less using our proven digital marketing strategies.
Contact us at doubledome.com to set up a free consultation.